Text for this morning's meditation is from 2 Peter, these words, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you'll do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, taken at face value alone, at face value, the Bible is an amazing book. Why? Why is the Bible an amazing book? Well, simply because of how it was created. The Bible, the book we know as the Bible, is not just one book, is it? It's 66 books. The Bible is a collection of books. Mind you, we're talking face value here. That is what we should think of the Bible if we knew nothing about it and we picked it up in our hands for the very first time. The Bible is a collection of 66 books written by 40 people, by 40 men. These 40 men, they weren't all scholars, bookish folks, authors by trade. Some were fishermen. At least one was a shepherd. There was a tax collector in the mix and a doctor. One highly trained in Egypt and another educated in Tarsus, which is modern Mersin, Turkey. There was a king and a government official or two. And of course, a number of prophets. All in all, about 40 different authors wrote the 66 books of the Bible. Oh, yeah. These 40 different authors also lived throughout a time period of about 1,600 years. That is 1,600 years. They wrote these 40 authors in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, although it must be said that there's not a huge difference between Aramaic and Hebrew. And the books, well, where were the books of the Bible written? All around the Mediterranean basin, that is in Jerusalem and Antioch, Ephesus, Rome, perhaps Alexandria, Egypt. And of course, there are those books of the Bible written in around Babylon, modern Iraq. So modernizing a bit more, we could say that the books of the Bible have their origin in what is modern Israel, Egypt, Greece, Macedonia, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and even Italy. So summing up, the Bible contains 66 books written over 1,600 years in three languages by 40 authors, and yet the Bible throughout has the same message, same theme, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ as the Messiah of the Jews, but also the very Son of God, the Redeemer of all mankind from sin and from death and from Satan. Now, just on face value, that is, if we'd pick up the Bible not knowing anything about it, we should be impressed by this, by its origin over such a long time and its unified theme. Very impressed, even intrigued, curious. The Quran, written by one place, or one person in one place, in one language. The Book of Mormon, again, one person, one place, one language. The Bible, 40 people, three languages, multiple places, over 1,600 years. But one message, one theme, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That should be enough. Of course, there's more. And that is the reason that the Bible is how it is. It's because the Holy Spirit truly is the author of the Bible. The Holy Spirit, that is God, moving men at various times and in various places, in various cultures, to write down the words given to them by Him, all pointing in one way or another to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, in Jesus' day, back in the first century, the disciples had only the 39 books of the Old Testament, written in Hebrew and a little bit in Aramaic. And when I said had, I mean had access to. The disciples of Jesus did not carry around the scrolls of the Old Testament with them, which were very expensive. They were handmade and treasured by the Jewish communities of the day. But the disciples would hear the scriptures as Jesus himself did, and that is in the synagogues that they would attend on the Sabbath day. So the question, the compelling question, the haunting question for them, for the disciples in Jesus' day, was simply whether or not Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God they heard about in the Scriptures. The one promised to Adam and Eve. The one promised to Abraham. The one promised to Moses. The one promised to David, to Elijah. Was Jesus the one that the Scriptures promised? We found the Messiah. That's what Andrew said to Peter after Andrew saw John the Baptist point to Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Andrew said, "We found the Messiah." And then he took Peter to meet Jesus. This was a question in the back of the minds of the disciples even after that meeting with Jesus can be demonstrated by the answer to the question posed later by Jesus to the disciples. Who do the people say Son of Man is? They said, well, some said John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, that is, Jesus said to the disciples, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God." After Jesus was arrested and interrogated before the high priest, that was also the question, wasn't it? The identity of Jesus. "I adjure you by the living God," the high priest said at that time. "I adjure you," that means I command you solemnly. "I adjure you," the high priest said to Jesus, "tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." All of Scripture points to this very fact, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that was the question of the day for the disciples of Jesus, for the people, for the leaders of the Jews, and so the transfiguration of Christ. Transfiguration when Jesus appeared with Moses. Moses, who daily talked with God. Moses, representing the law given by God to the children of Israel. And Elijah, the prophet, taken to heaven in a whirlwind, representing all the prophetical books of the Old Testament, representing all of the prophets sent to Israel by God. Yes, when Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, what was happening? But that visibly a demonstration was occurring. A demonstration of the fact that the 39 books of the Old Testament were all about Jesus. They all pointed to Jesus. They all prophesied Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And to top it off, the voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter, James, and John, they saw that. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus standing there with Moses and Elijah, and they heard the voice from the cloud, the voice of the Father, but the other disciples didn't. None of the other disciples did. Nor did the other believers in Christ at the time. None of the other followers of Christ. And of course, neither did we. Neither did we. We didn't have that experience of seeing and hearing what Peter, James, and John had there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we might be saddened by that thought. Saddened thinking that if only we had been there, if only we had seen and heard what Peter, James, and John had seen and heard that day, our faith now in Christ, it would be unshakable. Our faith in Christ would be strong. Our faith in Christ would never waver. But wait. What did Peter the Apostle write years after that event? Well, he wrote this: "We have something more sure." We have something more sure. Yes, Peter was there on the mountain and saw and heard, but yes, there was something even more sure to possess than the experience of Peter, that vision. And that is what we have today. The prophetic word, the Bible, to which we do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Why is the Bible, the Word of God, more sure? Because it's the Word of God dictated by the Holy Spirit to convey to us that same Spirit. to convict us of the sin that causes us to die, but also to convince us of the fact that the Christ, Jesus, the very Son of God, overcame death for us. And to convict us that even though the world can be a dark place, we ourselves, we don't need to live in such darkness. We can live in light. We can live in the fact that our sins are forgiven through faith in Christ. We can live in peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Why? Why? The Holy Spirit has convinced us by means of the Bible of what is true, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior, our Lord. That being so, we don't need to live in fear or dread or self-loathing or sadness. Let's realize that the world may indeed like that sort of life, though. Well, apparently it does, this life of darkness, life of sadness. I mean, I don't know if you heard about what happened at the Grammys. What was that, last week? But at the Grammys, a young lady won all of the major awards, a new artist, Billie Eilish, for her album entitled When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? An album, apparently, that deals with sadness and darkness, the challenges of being a teenager. And initially, there was reaction in the music industry over her songs and lyrics. They were too dark, she was told. They were too sad. But her response was, who hasn't been sad? I don't know what it says about a society, a culture that so praises and awards such an album, except that the artist is on to something. That her lyrics truly express what thousands, if not millions, are thinking. That is a sadness, a darkness. That is the dark place mentioned in our text. The dark place into which the prophetic word of Scripture shines as a bright light, a bright shining lamp, dispelling sadness because it brings to us Jesus Christ. And that's why we sing in that hymn, in you is gladness amidst all sadness. Jesus, sunshine of my heart, by you are given the gifts of heaven. You, the true Redeemer, are our souls. You wake our bonds, you break, who trust you surely has built securely. He stands forever. Hallelujah. It's the reality of the Christian life. The one in whom the Holy Spirit has come through the very word of God to work faith in the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he too has come to dwell in our hearts. Jesus. So skepticism, so doubting, so reticent, so apathy toward the very word of God, which we are not to despise, but gladly hear and learn. So any doubt in the great treasure, which is the Bible, which we can hold in our very hands, needs to go away, needs to be abandoned, needs to be forgotten. As we live daily by faith in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, believing the words of the Father, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. It's a sure prophetic word of God to us, right here, right now. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.